Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Toss to White. He's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl. Brady has his fifth. What a comeback.
Wow. What do you say, right? Wow. 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 I mean, that was, if you didn't watch that game last night, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? How you not watch that game last night? By the way, 47% of Americans never saw a snap of the football game. And look, for the first 45 minutes, I could say, maybe first hour, I understand that. Puppy Bowl was more entertaining. Puppy Bowl was far more entertaining in that first hour or so, hour and a half, than the game itself. But the Patriots found a way to win. Their quarterback has a never-say-die attitude, and he was not going to let them lose. He put them on their back. There was a couple key plays. There was a strip fumble and a sack, and you know, and Atlanta did a bunch of stuff where you look back and they're going to kick themselves. And again, they wake up today, and I think Matt Ryan said there are no words. No, there's not. I mean, I can't even understand. He played a pretty damn good game. Didn't throw the ball out, but he played a pretty damn good game. They had a chance after chance. When they made that throw to Julio Jones and he caught it, and they were down there at like the 18-yard line, and they're up by eight, and they've got the ball with a few minutes left, and you're thinking, dude, just run the ball a couple times, use the clock, make them use their timeouts. Worst case scenario, you kick a field goal, and you're going to have what? You're going to have, you know, you're going to eat up a lot of that time, and next thing you know, you're going to be sitting there, and boom. But then, as always, something happens. They didn't do what conventional Winston says, which is run the football, which, by the way, they did throughout the day, was great. And instead, they did what they did. And then they went back because there was a sack, but they were still in field goal range. Then there was a hold, and they went back further, and all of a sudden they were out of field goal range. Then there was another sack, and all of a sudden you're punting, and you're giving the ball back to the greatest quarterback in the history of all time with two timeouts, and he wandered them down there, scored a touchdown, then got the two-point conversion. Then, lo and behold, that was it. You could see it in their eyes. When he walked out there to take that coin flip, he was a beaten man. He was an absolutely beaten man. They wilted. They wilted under the pressure. The spotlight was big. Some people aren't made for the spotlight. Some people are made to be in the spotlight, but not be in the spotlight. I mean, they're around the periphery of it. But it wasn't him last night. But the team itself, the collective team, watching them wilt, fail, fall under pressure. It was interesting. It was a amazing thing to watch. You know, Tom Brady, and as we talk about men and we talk about, you know, what it is to be a man in this day and age and stuff, he is the quintessential man, right? I mean, he is this generation's, you know, superstar athlete with a bit of Steve McQueen in him, right? He's got a bit of swagger, a bit of Steve McQueen. Humble guy, but at the same time, man, he will bust your balls. You see the way he goes after his players. You see that. He holds nothing back. If you run a wrong route, you're going to hear about it. You're going to hear everything about it. Driven. He went into halftime. Do you think he said, oh, guys, it's over. We've lost. Oh, God. We're down 21-3. They got everything going for him. They're only up by, what, two touchdowns and what, you know, 18 points? You know, that's it. That's all they're up by. That's all they're up by. My bad. I threw an interception. My bad. I screwed us up a couple times. You know what, guys? Everything's going their way. Nothing's going our way. And they haven't put us away. And then they went up 28-3 and thought, well, this game's over. Everybody did. Telling Jack, it's not over till it's over. That's why they play the game. And even when they scored a touchdown, they missed an extra point. Gostkowski, really? Most accurate kicker? Really? This is what happened? But then they clawed back into it. But when you saw that, you could look on the other side where energy was coming from one side. the other side, the shoulders dropped, the head dipped. There was a lesson to be learned here. You don't give up in life, kids. You just can't give up. Kids nowadays give up. We let them give up. It's hard. I don't want to do it. Oh, you don't have to. No, you got to do it. You got to learn. Life is not all roses. Life is not all happiness and puppy kisses. Life can be cruel. Life can be tough. When you think you've overcome one obstacle, you find out you really haven't. Perfect analogy is in life. You climb up to the top of a mountain. You think you've done it. I'm at the top of the mountain. There's nothing else for me to do. And you get up and you look over and there's 20 peaks out there. You're going to sit there, whine and cry? I don't want to do it. No, you got to. We don't do that. We don't push our kids enough anymore. We're sending our kids out into the world ill-prepared to deal with any kind of challenges whatsoever. Oh, my God. I got to pee. What am I going to do? Well, Snagglepuss, nut up and get to work. Work harder. I was talking to producer Anthony today about his nephew. And it's true because I've talked to a lot of kids like this. They get straight A's, but not because they're pushing themselves and they want straight A's. And it's about achievement a lot of times. It's out of fear. It's out of fear that they're getting straight A's. And that sounds weird. Fear of failure. Fear of all of these things. And, oh, what if I don't? What if I don't? Let me tell you something. Give me a person who's gotten C's, but has character, creativity, and a never-die attitude over somebody who's got straight A's who lives in fear. I've always said that. That's the pilot I want. The pilot I want is not the person who had straight A's, but that's because everything went their way. I want the pilot where if the wings fell off, he's going, I got this. We're going to land this thing. It's going to be great. You guys hold on. It's going to be rough. I'm going to try to set it down, and then he lands it, and it's perfect. He's got no wings. And he's apologizing to everybody about the fact that, hey, sorry about that. Wings fell off, but we still made it, and I know it was a bumpy ride down. But I apologize for that. But thanks so much. Not somebody who panics. Kids have that nowadays. Man, you see kids at a younger and younger age have anxiety problems. What the hell do you have an anxiety problem for? You're six. What problem can you have at six? You have no problem at six. People quit. Oh, I don't want to do it. Oh, it's tough. No. Kids, guess what? Life is full of obstacles. It's a landmine all the time. And every time you step on something and it goes a little south, that thing, that rake's going to come up and hit you in the balls. You're like, oh, God. But you got to keep moving. You can't stop. That's life. We've taken every hurt away from our child, every experience away from our child. We're doing our child a disservice because our child needs to understand that life is full of failures. And only when you fail a whole bunch in life do you get to the point where you realize what success really is. You can soak it in. You can soak it all in. But when we take away all of these obstacles and we take away the things that make us who we are, who your parents were, who your grandparents were, when we take away those things, and we all want to protect our child, myself included, guilty. But I don't want to protect him from life. I want to protect him from, you know, sticking his finger into a light socket or not running out in the street, but having a boo-boo on his knee or having his first heartbreak or getting into a fight with a friend. Or having, you know, all of these things that happen in life when you're little that make you hard, you give a character. I don't want to take that away from him because that's doing him a disservice. And then when he goes out in the real world, he's not going to be able to face it. Sometimes in life, you're going to come up against bullies and you got to face them head on. Sometimes in life, you're going to come up into situations that you struggle with, whether it be a class or a sport or an instrument or a hobby, whatever it is. And you know what? Rather than quit, you push through. There was no quit in that team last night. Tom Brady wasn't going to let him lose. Tom Brady would have passed the ball to himself if he could. He was not going to let them lose. We let our kids win all the time when we should let them lose. Because in order to understand what winning is about, you've got to first understand also what losing is about. And we've taken away all of that stuff from our kids nowadays. The hell of a game last night, but there's lessons to be learned there. And I think we got to start letting our kids learn some of these lessons. Because the more we do that, the more we're going to build people like Tom Brady, and the less we're going to build people who stand outside whining, crying, and moaning because somebody put a Trump sign up somewhere and they feel they've been bruised and wounded. They're not snowflakes, they're eggshells, and they're cracking all the time. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. The Chad Benson Show.
God bless America.
Oh, yeah. I'm already hooked.
And we're just getting started.
Whoop-dee-doo!
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Tell you what. I loved the performance. I thought it was great. You know what? I'm a guy that can look at talent, and she sang God Bless America and last night. And she, you know, I mean, everybody was worried. Where's the Trump stuff going to come for? And was this God Blessing America? Was this in some way, shape, or form a way of you know, coming down on Trump? And it was Lady Gaga. Stop reading into crap, all right? She came out, she rocked it. It was great. It was great. You know, I mean, and she's one of those people, to be completely honest with you, you could have put her up there with three pandas riding a unicycle behind her, and her talent would have overcome that. She was awesome. Although that would be pretty cool. That'd be my thing. Here comes some pandas and Chad singing God Bless America. But she killed it. She got a 50 share. Her share was actually bigger than the Super Bowl. More people watched her halftime show as she flew down out of the rafters, and she taped the God Bless America on top of it earlier. And I don't know if you saw the drone stuff. That's pretty awesome, too. So she taped it earlier, and then apparently she appeared with the, you know, dangling from the wires, of which if I was on there, I would have spun like 100 times and then probably vomited and threw the microphone. It would have been awesome, though. How was it? It was great. Did you see Chad? He was spinning like 1,000 times. He threw up a little bit, the microphone off. He cussed a lot. It was amazing. Yeah, it was great. It looked like The Exorcist, but he was dangling from a wire. But it was – come on. Enough. Let's all calm down, please. Let's all calm down and stop looking. There were reasons to go, during some of the commercials, all right? And we're going to break down some of those commercials in a little bit. We will. I've got a few of them I want to talk about. There were. But last night, it was a good thing. You know, I thought it was fine. Stop reading into crap. Too many people do that nowadays.
Well, I got to, you know, read in stuff. You know, because I think it's a
– I had a guy, text me earlier, said that he stopped, you know, looking at regular news sites because they're unbalanced. And now he only goes to certain places to find his news. I'm like, no, don't do that. You're cutting yourself off. So you're going to sites that are going to give you exactly what you want. Go to sites that are going to give you the news. And if you feel uncomfortable about the news, then go somewhere else and see if you can find a story that is opposite that a story, meaning a story that's giving you – this story is giving you half the story. You go find the other half of the story and you put it together. It's crazy. It is. It is. Stop reading into things. And you know what else? I don't know if you guys – Producer Phil, you saw some of the halftime show, yeah?
Oh, yeah, I did.
She's getting hammered for her stomach. Like, that's the – who does that, right? Like, who does that? Like, really? Okay, the outfit I could see, because she looked a little bit David Bowie-esque at times. Like, she went into David Bowie's closet and was like, well, he's not using this. And she came out. And she – and the funny thing is everybody's like, but her hair. Like, she had three different hairstyles in moments. But I will say this is – this is the sadness of the world we live in, and it sucks to be both girls and men anymore, you know, young men and women, because the want for perfection. Her voice is amazing, and people are going off because she had, like, you know, she didn't have the six-pack abs. Like, she's some fitness model. No, she's thin and she's talented. Get over yourselves. What's wrong with you people? People sit around all day just bitch and whine and moan on social media. I got just destroyed over the weekend by people who thought I was a horrible person because I didn't like their point of view, or I didn't see their point of view, or I said something against the president. They never say anything. Chad, I love the way you supported the president, but you went after Kellyanne Conway. I can never listen to you again because you said something mean about Kellyanne Conway. No, I made fun of the fact that she talked about the Bowling Green Massacre that never happened in context with the whole travel ban or the, you know, whatever you want to call this thing. Is it a travel ban? Is that what it is? Not a travel ban. It's a travel moratorium. I think it's a better way to do it, right? Now we're at like the travel moratorium. It's like climate change. Started out as global warming. Now it's climate change. Started out as a ban against Muslims. Now it's a travel moratorium from people of mostly Muslim to faith from several different countries, which is fine. I get it. Trust me, I'm behind it 110%. I think we need to vet things better. But I think it needs to be a moratorium. And they're going to hear it tomorrow in the Ninth Court Circuit. We'll see how that goes. But people sit around all day. They have nothing better to do. And I just think to yourself, how sad are you? How sad is your little life that your whole thing is to tear apart other people? Because I guarantee you, anybody who sent a text out or a tweet or any of those things telling, you know, she's fat. She's fat. Look at her flabby flabs. Look at her flabbiness. She's fat. You wish you had the talent she did. You wish. You're not even you couldn't even be in the same room with her. You couldn't even be. She breaks wind and it's better than you could do in anything in the world, right? She could play the recorder and smoke your world. She's the prince, but a female. Meaning, prince have played all these instruments, so does she. She sings, she rocks it. But people just, the need to tear other people down, like in your sad little lives with your five Twitter followers, right? And just, oh, she looks gross, or he's the worst, or whatever. Chad, you're a horrible, stupid individual. Whatever. You say that, but you still listen. You're not doing what I said. Yeah, whatever. Lucky I don't have panda bears. I'd sick them on you. Tell that to somebody in heaven. How'd you die, panda bear? Oh, really? Wow, that's weird. You know they're real bears, right? Yeah, well, yeah. Well, yeah, I guess so. Well, everybody thinks they're like 3 pounds. No, they're real bears. You're thinking a koala bear. There's a big-ass panda bear. It would eat your face.
I want to be left panda.
Oh, left panda was great, right? Left panda, that was left shark. Was that left shark last year?
Yeah.
Left panda. And I love all the old people. Like, well, why isn't there somebody playing that's cool? Like, you know, Topo Shigio or somebody like that. Or the ukulele out there. Because the kids love this music. I kind of like Lady Gaga. May not love her politics, but I like what she did. She rocked it. She had a good time doing it. Deal with it, folks. Watch out, or I'll send a panda bear to your house. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Nighttime would find me in Rose's Cantina. Music would play and Felina would whirl. Blacker than night were the eyes of Felina, wicked and evil while casting a spell.
I can listen to this all day. He said the greatest voice of all time.
I was in love, but in vain I could tell.
Monty Robbins right there playing the hits from yesteryear, today, and yesterday, way gone back. In the Wayback Machine, it's the Chad Benson Show. Immigration, obviously issues going on there. We've got this travel moratorium. That's where I've changed that word to, moratorium. I saw a great, I don't know if it was on the Five or one of those things, but they held up a sign that says liberal outrage. And this is where misthinking goes. 109 people, I think, were inconvenienced. 109 people were inconvenienced in this travel moratorium. Inconvenience being the operative word. They eventually got in. They weren't arrested. They weren't thrown into jail. They weren't beaten or waterboarded. They were inconvenienced. 109. 109 people. 140 cops killed last year. 432,000 vets currently out of work and struggling. You got some 40,000 vets that are homeless. 34,000 people died from drug overdoses last year. And your outrage is to the 109 people? The 109 people that were somehow inconvenienced? Let me tell you about inconvenience, all right? When I used to travel back and forth from America to the UK to play ball, I went over there one time, and the sponsor family that I've known for years came to pick me up. I had made numerous trips back and forth. They pulled the entire sponsor family into separate rooms, including a 12-year-old little girl, and all of us in separate rooms, and grilled us for hours about what I was doing there, because there was a thought that maybe my traveling had to do with maybe being involved in some way, shape, or form with the IRA or something of that nature. Wanted to know what I was doing here, who I was here. They asked us over and over and over and over and over and over again. Were we inconvenienced? Yes. And by the way, they tore my bag apart. They tore my bag apart. Destroyed my bag. Like ruined half my clothes. I was inconvenienced. Nobody picketed for me. I looked. Nobody cared. There was no picketing going on. No picketing whatsoever. I understand why people will feel upset. I understand their fears. But the fears are stoked by the fact that, quite frankly, we have a media here that is stoking those fears. And they're getting people ginned up. And then you've got people using the media, the Nancy Pelosi's of the world, right? The Keith Ellison's of the world, the Bernie Sanders of the world, getting out there saying, let me tell you right now, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. He's an ignoramus, and he's a horrible human being who's a racist Grand Ku Klux Klan wizard. That's what he's doing. And they're all buying into it. I got to buy into it. America's never been this way. Blah, 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 blah. 100 years ago. 100 years ago, we had a moratorium, if you will, or a ban on foreigners. But no, Chad, that's not true, because we had Ellis Island. Yeah, we did. But there was a immigration act that barred ambiguous and long list of people from entering said country. We'll call that country the United States of America. What were some of these people that were banned? And I think some of these are really subjective. All idiots. Now, if we were to ban all idiots, it would be a very lonely country anymore. Imbeciles. How does one even come up with that? Is there a test? Is there a means test for imbeciles? Feeble-minded persons. We got a lot of those. Epileptics. Didn't know they were bad. Insane persons. I'm all for that. Persons with chronic alcoholism. Professional beggars. As opposed to the people that want to keep their amateur status just in case it pops up in the Olympics, and those with tuberculosis and other contagious disease. It also barred polygamists, felons, prostitutes, and their traffickers. And similar to Trump's ban, it blocked the entry of those who advocate for the overthrow by force or violence of the government of the United States and all forms of law, and anyone who would advocate or teach the duty, necessity, or propriety of killing U.S. officers and officials. To keep these people out, the law raised the tax imposed on most of the adult entrants. It also imposed a literary test. Well, you couldn't do that nowadays. Requiring newcomers over the age of 16 to demonstrate basic reading comprehension in any language. Woodrow Wilson vetoed it, but they overrode his veto. What would people be doing nowadays? They'd be apoplectic. Imbeciles and idiots? Oh, my God. You mean sheeple?
Yep.
We'd have to ban sheeple. Oh, that'd be horrible. How could you do that? Look, this travel moratorium is just that. And if it goes any longer, I'm on board of bitch and whine in a moment. Did it need to be thought out more? Absolutely, it needed to be thought out more. The little baby that needed heart surgery, I think it was, there was no reason to keep her out. She should have been here. People that have worked here and been law-abiding, you know, residents of this country should have been brought back in, should have had no issues with it. There was confusion. There was a lot of stuff. But an understanding that we want to keep our country safe, the first thing I ask for my president, he or she, keep me safe. Keep my country safe. Keep our sovereign land safe. Protect our allies and our interests around the world, but keep us safe. That's your number one duty. Keep us safe. He's doing what he thinks is best to keep us safe. This is all political. That's all it is. Who can we turn to and use as the martyr for our cause to bitch at this man? Who is it? Who is the downtrodden soul that we could look upon and gaze upon and then turn them into a hero when all they did was get stuck in line somewhere a little bit longer while a judge came out and says, "Now you can't do this"? Who can we do this to? Not the vet over there. No. Not the homeless vet or the vet that's killing himself. No. Not those people, right? Because they're bad baby killers. No. You played the game. That's all it is. In truth, you'll use anything to fight him because you can't stand him. He won. He goes against everything you believe in. His ideology of success and America first, his ideology of driving forward, his not taking crap from people, his not living in a world where you're worried about words, but living in the world where he understands that, guess what? It's crappy out there. His ideology goes against everything that you hope and care for because you lead with feelings while he looks at the facts. He's trying to keep us safe. That includes these same people out there. That includes these same people out there who are rallying against him, who want him impeached. We got to impeach him. He's a bad guy. Got to impeach him. He's the grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. Misogyny, oligarchy, patriarchy, garchy-garchy, whatever they come up with. He's evil. He's bad. You're just going up against him. That's all you're doing. Doesn't matter what he does. Matters not. And you're using these people as a foil in your little game. That's it. I'm going to use these people as an excuse to bitch at you because I don't like you. You don't care about these 109 people that were stuck. 350,000 people travel daily in this country on visas and green cards and everything else. You don't care about anybody. You're upset because your person lost. And you're whining and bitching and moaning because you think he's going to destroy the Constitution. Never realizing that maybe the last guy was in here that you love so dearly, maybe trod on the Constitution a little bit too. Because we see same things through different glasses. You see blue, I see red. You see orange, I see green. That's all it is. You're bitching, whining, and moaning. You're picking and choosing. And you're using these people as a way to go after a guy who in the end wants to keep Americans safe. I don't agree with everything he does, but I don't think this is the end all to be all. When there's a fight to be had, if there is one, I'll be right there with you. But not because he wants to keep us safe. Show me when he is actually a xenophobe and a racist, and we'll talk. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You text the program. 323-538-2423.
323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show. Wrap it up. I'll take it. Wrap it up. I'll take it. You're listening to the Chad Benson Show.
Wrap it up. Wrapping it up on this beautiful Monday.
Monday, baby. You know what I mean? Playing the hit.
People are texting me, Chad, what did you think about the lumber? Is it 84 lumber? What do I think of it? I think it was a political commercial. That's what I think. There you go. I mean, it's what more do you want me to say? If you didn't see the 84 lumber commercial, it starts out with a young girl. They're of Latino descent or Hispanic descent. If you're offended by that, that's what I think of you. Because I'm of Latino descent and I'm not offended by it. Oh, no way, Chad. Yes way. So her mom, she wakes up. She's like, mama, mama. And, you know, oh, your sister is what it says because it's all in Spanish. And they're in, you know, some little, you know, house, lean-to, whatever it is. Chad, you're being rude. Deal with it. And, again, they're tugging at your heartstrings. There's nothing, by the way, in this entire thing, this trek that these two take where they pack up like a lunch pail and they take this trek using coyotes. And if you don't know what a coyote is, that's somebody who sneaks people across borders and going through this dangerous thing. There is nothing that says buy lumber from us. Like nothing. Nothing says that. It's just about a trek from wherever they were, whether it's Honduras, Guatemala, wherever, you know, Madrid, we won't leave anybody out, and cruising over here. I'm thinking it's Central America or Mexico, but that's what I'm thinking. And that's all this is, right? It's a political statement. And the thing at the end, it's a three-minute commercial, of which they only played, I think, a minute on television. You had to go to, like, 84 Lumber to see the rest of it. And it says, you know, if you're willing or eager or whatever or driven to get to this country, we'll take you kind of thing. And I've always said, look, there's people that make this trek from these horrible places to come to our country in many ways are more driven than a lot of the people that are here who are lazy as all get out, right? They won't move next door, let alone, you know, a different country. Most people won't move anywhere. There's a great job over here. Oh God, I'm waiting for the mill to come back. As soon as the mill comes back, we're going to be honest. I know it's coming back. No, wrong. Get a job. But I thought it was all political. I thought it was 110% political. Then you had the Anheuser-Busch ad, which I thought was very nice. I thought it was a good ad. They say it's not political. It's political. Shut up. It's totally political. It's 110% political. That's what it was. You got Adolphus Busch and then Anheuser. And here he is, you know, Anheuser coming across. And he gets to America at Ellis Island, you know, and the other people, get out of here, you know, screaming at him. It's in the, you know, it's in the early, probably turn of the century, 1900s. 1857. There you go. So super early. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's on a riverboat, and the riverboat blows up and catches fire, and he jumps in. Then he's on a wagon. Then he's slogging through mud. And then he gets to St. Louis, and some guy's like, hey, welcome to St. Louis, you know, because that's what they said back there. And all of a sudden, you know, he's in a bar, and he's like, I've never heard of Anheuser. And he goes, I'm Anheuser. And he's like, I'm Adolphus Busch. And then, you know, Anheuser-Busch. Oh, but it's a tugging at your heartstrings. Right, it's a tugging at your tug at your heartstrings, Tuggy McTuggerson. I'm trying to evoke emotion. Here's a person walking across the world to get to our hallowed lands. I get that. Again, we pick and choose the thing. How about why aren't we seeing somebody in Sudan running for their life, and why don't we care about them? Right, we care about somebody who's coming over here. And he's going to have an opportunity. We don't care about somebody running from their life and genocide in Sudan. No, we don't. We don't care about that. We got people. Every one of you in the last 24 hours or 48 hours has passed somebody who's homeless. You don't give a rat's ass. You roll your window up. You put your head down. Some of that's our sarcasm. You know, some of that is our skepticism because we're not quite sure if they're homeless. But you know who the homeless person is. You know who the person that's not mentally well is. I don't see anybody caring about those people. It's all tugging at heartstrings BS. Don't buy into it. I can empathize with people coming from different places. Absolutely. I can empathize, and I could actually welcome them. But don't try to sell me on it as if you're some awesome, amazing, better than everybody else because I believe like this BS, and it's not political. It is political. Sell your 84 lumber. I don't even know what it is. I don't. Producer Phil had to tell me. I thought they were like Home Depot or something like that. They weren't, though. They're a lumber yard. That's what you are. You're a lumber yard. Oh, wow. That makes me want to buy my lumber from you. No, it doesn't, because I live in a place where we don't have that. I don't live next to a lumber yard. You've tugged at heartstrings at the wrong thing. Because that it's football time. You aiming it at people that really don't care. They want to watch the funny commercials. I saw the Snickers commercial. I thought it was funny. They did it live. They come on out. Adam Driver's out there. Three guys like, come on out. There's three gunshots. And they all start laughing. And then everything starts falling down. I thought it was kind of funny. Right? The Humpty Dumpty commercial. I thought it was funny. But he kind of threw a wall in there. But the 84 lumber. That's what I think of it. I think it was just you're tugging at the wrong heartstrings. If you're barking up my tree, I don't even know what you sell. Nor do I care at this point in time. The last time I played was a log. It was a Lincoln log. It was the last time. was like asking somebody today, I'm like, so is this the kind of logs they sell for the guys to do that running on when they're in the water? Is this the kind of logs they sell? Oh, they sell lumber.
Oh.
Don't buy into the crap. Okay. You know what? That's what I think of that. I empathize with people from around the world who want to come here. But, you know, we have laws. We're a sovereign land. There's right way and the wrong way of going about doing things. And we are to blame for allowing illegal immigration to get out of hand. And we need to fix it and set it right. But we also need to have a sovereign country. And we can do that. And we should do that. We should absolutely do that. But if you're out there and you're going to text me later and tell me how empathetic you are and what a horrible human being I am, you don't give a rat's ass about anybody except the cause du jour of the day that you care about. You'll walk over homeless people. You could care less about the alcoholic down the street. You could care less about the sexual abuse survivor. You care less about anything because that's not the cause du jour of the day. So when you can finally get around to caring about other things and other Americans, as well as other human beings as equally, then we can talk. Until then, the Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-V-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can email the show as well, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Check out, I don't know, the podcast, all places do you like podcasts, iTunes, not. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your night. For all the boys, my name's Chad Benson. Night-night, Jack.
The Chad Benson Show.